We are in this series where we're taking a look at the songs that that people sang on their way up to Jerusalem. This is the playlist that they would sing as they gathered for worship a couple of times a year. And we imagine it was just like that. That's probably how it went. And so I've been asked a few times, who's the guy with the hair in there? And I thought they were talking about me, but they weren't. That's Sam Norfleet. He is our new worship director on the Arlington campus, and so just a great, great team member. I was thinking this morning as we were being led in worship by these incredibly talented 20-something-year-olds. We just have such great leadership all throughout the church, and such great worship leadership and music leadership. But really, staff and volunteers. This is an incredible church family to get to be a part of, and represents all ages. Groups, and it really, really is family. And so thanks for being a great church. Thanks that I get to be a part of this church, and we get to gather together and take a look at Scripture together. Would you pray with me as we open the Word? God, these are words that you wrote thousands of years ago. You gave them to your people, and they were written down, and yet even today, they just pierce my heart and my soul. Father, would you continue to pierce our hearts and souls with your word? And would you do it this morning? Would you speak to us today, God? And may we live it out. We pray this in your name. Amen. Well, we're looking at these songs that they sang going into worship. They were kind of the songs that would frame their hearts and minds for worship as they went in. They were also the songs that kind of everybody was singing as they went in. Jesus would have been singing these songs with his family as they traveled the road towards Jerusalem a couple of times a year. And today's song is one where they're kind of like, it sort of goes, remember all those crazy things that happened to us? Remember all those crazy events that happened, and yet God is for us and he saved us. Remember all the things that were broken and messed up and falling apart, yet God saved us. And sort of the remember when, how did we even survive? It had to be for God. It had to be that God did it. Now, my oldest is, he's got this 1985 Bronco that he loves more than pretty much anything else, and we were talking about it this week, and he was talking about the seatbelts, because they barely work in that deal, and he said, you know, this actually has a seatbelt sensor. Of course, you know, it was clipped, so we don't have to worry about that, and I was like, I think you're missing the point on why you have that, but it got me thinking this week. And it was 85, and it was right about that time that all the states started putting seatbelt required laws into place. And I wasn't quite driving yet, but I remember all the adults freaking out about this. Can you believe they're going to tell me what to do in my own car? Man, tell me to put a seatbelt. Next thing you know, we're not going to be able to drink alcohol while we're driving our cars. And they just take away every right that we possibly have, and, you know, on and on and on. And but you think, what was that like back in those days? You know, my family, we used to like to roll around in the back of a station wagon on a road trip, you know, just kind of roll around back there. And that was just normal. And how did we survive? But God, I guess, right? But God saved us through so much of that, or we would never be alive. And then I was thinking about the crazy things I used to do, terrible decisions I used to make. When I was a teenager, one of my favorite things was to be, I had a friend whose car had a huge sunroof, and we would stand up out of the sunroof, put some goggles on, and drive over 100 miles an hour just for excitement. You know, we're just bored, I guess. Crazy. Can you, I mean, what in the world? That's ridiculous. You should never, that's unbelievably terrible. How did I survive? I don't know. But God was on my side, maybe. I mean, that's the best answer I got on that one. And I was thinking about other just nutso things I've done, climbing up off on bridges and jumping off into little things. I mean, just stupid stuff. And even as I got older and was supposed to be more responsible, got married and bought a house, and I remember that our first house, my wife and I found a stovetop that she just really wanted in our kitchen. The neighbors had thrown it away, actually, and we brought it over, cleaned it up real good, and I was kind of, put that in. And I am a pastor. We don't learn much about electricity really in pastoring school. And yet I was like, I can wire that sucker up. And somebody said, that's 220, you know, that'll kill you. And I was like, how hard can it be? And I called a friend who was another pastor and said, look up under your stove and tell me how that's wired. And I just wired that side. Didn't even, you know, faze me. And the house didn't burn down. I don't know how, but for the grace of God, right? I shouldn't be doing your wiring. But I was just thinking all the different places where we go, man, if it wasn't for God saving me, I don't know how I survived. And that's kind of what this psalm is doing. Would you read this with me? If you got your Bible, or you can pull this up on your phone app, or you can follow along on the screens. This is Psalm 124. This is what it says, Psalm 124. If the Lord had not been on our side, let Israel say, if the Lord had not been on our side, when people attacked us, they would have swallowed us alive. When their anger flared against us, the flood would have engulfed us. The torrent would have swept over us. The raging waters would have swept us away. Praise be to the Lord, who has not let us be torn by their teeth. We have escaped like a bird from the fowler's snare. The snare has been broken, and we have escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Our help is in the name of the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. You know, I like how this one starts. It starts off with this, if the Lord had not been on our side. And you can imagine the group is kind of walking down the road up to Jerusalem, and the kind of lead singer person throws it out there. If the Lord had not been on our side. But not enough people sang with him. Did you see that? Because he stopped, and he was like, hey, wait a minute. Everybody sing. Did you get that? He goes, if the Lord had not been on our side, let all of Israel sing. And then they repeated it. If the Lord had not been on our side. In a way, he was saying, "You, everybody's singing. We're all in on this. This is a command. And this is a joyful psalm. This is a looking back at the past and the way that God has worked. And it's through these eyes of joy and a heart of gratefulness. And one of the things I love about this is that it takes seriously the command in Scripture to have joy. You know, so often we know real clearly there's a command to repent. You know, you got to repent. You got to turn from your wrong ways and turn towards God. We know we're commanded to repent, but I often forget that we're commanded just as often, maybe more often, to have joy. That's a command too. And this psalm comes with that approach. Everybody's singing, everybody's in. We're going to have grateful hearts. This is going to set our heart and our mindset as we walk up into the temple. As we enter into worship, we're going to set our hearts with this discipline of joy, of gratefulness, of these hearts full of thanksgiving. But I want you to look at the stories that they're telling as they're recounting these things of joy, as they're recounting the great works of God. Because if I was telling the story about how God was my help, if I was telling the story about how God was for me, I would tell stories about how we win all the time, right? I'd be like, remember when things went so well? Remember when we won and then we won again and we won? Remember when we just crushed those guys, you know? That's the kind of stories I like to tell. That's what I would tell, you know? Remember when things were going great. But the psalmist doesn't do that. Even though this is a psalm of joy and thanksgiving, it's one that actually looks at the tragedy, the tragedies of their past. It's one that actually looks at the places that were struggle and difficulty. It's one that looks at the tough times. They're saying, remember the tough times? Remember the places where we almost didn't make it. Remember how those times were so hard. My family likes to sit around and tell stories every once in a while. We'll sit around the dinner table and just just go, remember when this happened, remember when that happened, or if we have a good porch, we'll sit out on the porch, remember when this happened. But there are a few stories that I just don't like to tell during those times, right? They're the ones that make my palms sweaty. Just thinking, I'm thinking about them right now, making my palms sweaty. And there are the real tough times. I've talked about this many times before, but like there's a time when Cammie and I, we planted a church, and it was way more difficult than we ever expected. We realized, like, we're way in over our heads, and this is so hard, and we had to get help, and it was, just excruciating and difficult, and it was such a tough time, and my hands are sweating right now just thinking about that. I don't go, hey, remember when that was? It was so, you know, I don't. That's not one I put into a song if I was writing the song. But the psalmist, he goes, remember, remember. And here's why. Because as he leans into that moment, as the psalmist leans into that place when things were tough and difficult, not only sees the difficulty, the toughness, he sees God at work. Like, it was in that place that where Cammie and I planting this church, it was in that place that we can see God doing such incredible work on our hearts and in who we were as a and are as a couple and as parents. And you know, there was so much work that God was doing and what God was doing in that church and in that community at that time. We can see the evidence of God at work, of God bringing redemption and healing and wholeness out of that moment. See, I can see so clearly that God was my help as I look at that moment of difficulty and brokenness. And I have about a million stories like that. The ones I like to hide away and tuck away, the ones I don't want to pull out, conversations, dumb things that I've done and had to sit and talk to my wife about, and I just get, you know, embarrassed thinking about them. And yet it's in those places, I see so clearly God's miraculous work, his come alongsideness. It's one of the ways that God talks about, one of the ways that the Holy Spirit is described to us as the come alongside one. That God did not abandon me. You see, followers of God are not people who just go, well, let's ignore the difficulties. Let's just look at the, let's just tell the fun stories. Let's skip over the tough stories. Let's just do the fun stuff and we'll just kind of rest right there. But the followers of Christ, they don't do that. No, we're people that actually are called to lean in. To lean into the brokenness. To remember it. But also to examine it carefully. To look through the eyes of faith. Because as we do this, work of remembering, we actually do the work of seeing God at work in our real lives. Not just an idea of God, but God actually at work in our stories and in the stories of our families. This is the work that we're called to do. It's a work of remembering. And the psalmist, he invites you right into it. But it's a little different than kind of the angle that we sometimes want to go. And that is an angle of explanation. I want to say, well, when things went bad, this is why God would have done that. And that's one of my tendencies, to be theological about it, right? Explain what God did. Yet, the psalmist doesn't go there. Did you notice that? He doesn't explain God. He doesn't give a reason for what God was doing. There's no real work of theology here. In fact, if you look at most of Scripture, you'll hardly find an explanation of God's motives. You'll hardly find anyone trying to explain the theology behind the way God was thinking. That does come up in the book of Job. In the book of Job, things are not going well. That's an understatement, right? It's not good for Job. And he has several friends that come alongside him and start trying to do theology work. They start going, well, maybe God was thinking this. Well, maybe God was doing that. Maybe this is the reason. And each one of those reasons is just rejected. It doesn't work out well. And finally, Job himself starts to ask questions of God. He says, God, you know, why did you do this? And he starts doing that, you know, explain this question. And finally, God just answers and he says, I'm God and you're not God. That's the answer, right? That's the answer in the book of Job. But the psalmist doesn't do that work. The psalmist invites us into a different type of work. This is the work of just noticing, of observing. Here's the evidence. This is what God has done. Not an explanation, but a remembrance. What do you see as you look closely? And as you look at the eyes of faith, at the experiences of your life, you begin to see God showed up. Listen to some of that language, right? Verse 2 says, if the Lord had not been at our side when people attacked us, they would have swallowed us alive. And when their anger flared against us, the flood would have engulfed us. The torrent would have swept us over. He's talking about the flood and the torrent, but if you really dig a little bit deeper into what he's saying right there, he's like, when people were angry at me, he's like, oh, he's talking about relationships. That's like real life stuff. And he's just going, observe it. Observe those places in your own life. Observe those places in the lives of people around you. If God had not been for you, would have all fallen apart. And yet you begin to see, when you look carefully, God at work in the midst of those kind of places. And when the psalmist looks, just at the evidence, not explaining it, just looking at the evidence, he sees a God who did not abandon us. A God who does not abandon us in our time of need, but who walks alongside us. And you see something else. This is the way it ends. Our help is in the name of the Lord, right? There's this help, this God that does not abandon. Our help is in the name of the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. This is what he sees. He sees a God who created the whole world, heaven and earth, spoke it into existence. A God that just speaks and light comes out of darkness and the seas are separated from the land. I mean, God just speaks the whole world into existence. This is the God who deals with problems that are big problems, whole world problems, things falling apart all around the globe. That's the kind of problems that God deals with. But he knows you and he knows your problems. And the psalmist suddenly is amazed that this God, the God of the universe, the creator of heaven and earth, would also be your help, would be his help, would hear your voice, would know you. This is what the psalmist sees when he looks carefully. A God who does not abandon us. A God who created heaven and earth and yet knows us and cares about the dealings that we deal with, that cares about being our help. Now, some of us are wired well for seeing the tragedy part of things. So when we look at our past and the past brokennesses, we see them real clearly, and we see all the pitfalls and problems. And some of you are good at that, and we need people that are good at that, because you're the ones that protect us from ourselves going into the future, right? You're the ones that say, hey, watch out, guys. You need to be careful. This is, you know, bad things around the corner here. And when my oldest was younger, he's 5 or 6 years old, we went hiking. We were in Texas, and we went on a hike, and we had our dog with us. And it was this great trail, and we got to this place where they had put a chain, you know, across the trail. And so, of course, we figured that was for motorized vehicles. So we walked around the, you know, the chain. I mean, and we went on down the trail. And the trail went into it just went up kind of this field that went sort of rose up like this. Had a little tree line at the very end. And it was just a cool little walk. But the dog just took off, just sprinted, and ran right up that tree line. And my son just sprinted full speed right after him. Both of them just right up. And then I see the dog stop, dead stop at the tree line. And then I see my son stop. And I finally get up there, you know, and I get up to the wall, and it was an 80-foot cliff. I mean, just a sheer straight down cliff. My heart just, like, I was like, oh my, I am the worst dad in the whole world, you know. And, I didn't pay, but at that moment, I was like, why didn't they block off this trail, you know? Why didn't they put a sign? They should have put a bigger sign of, I need people around that recognize the problems and the issues and the pitfalls that I'm walking into. But here's the deal. If we're not careful, we can see the brokenness of our past, and it's all we see. We just see the painful part. And what happens is that actually not only becomes what we see in our past, but it colors the way we see the future. That all we see are pitfalls around every corner. There's danger around every bend. You know, all we see is the danger. We're just looking out for to protect ourselves constantly. And the psalmist calls us to something different. The psalmist says, see the past. See the broken places and the difficult places and the tough stuff. But look closely. Because in the midst of those places, God is there. In the midst of those places, God is holding you fast. And if you discipline yourself to see your history that way, it starts to color the way you look at your future. You still see, hey, there's dangers and pitfalls ahead. There are going to be bumps and bruises ahead. And yet we know, because of the evidence, that God is our help, even in those places. Now, there's one more question that comes up for me in this. You know, because it starts off, if the Lord had not been on our side, that's the refrain that starts. If the Lord had not been on our side. And, that sits a little bit uncomfortable, right? I'm like, is God on my side? You know, theologically, I want to say, I should be on God's side, not God on my side, you know, something like that. But the psalmist doesn't care about my theological hangups or whatever. That's just the way he says it. If the Lord had not been on our side. And then I start going, well, is God on my side? I'm like, is God on my side? I start to ask that question. What does that look like to be on God's team? And how do I get there? And doesn't the psalmist just mean the Jewish people? Because that's you know probably who he was talking about, just the Jewish people. But as I start to ask those questions, as they start to roll around in my mind, the refrains from the New Testament start to come up. You know that passage? While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While we are on the precipice of destruction, where we are still bound up by our sinful decisions and choices, while we are still in the midst of our own brokenness and our own failures, Christ died for us. Is God for you? He actually came to earth, lived, died on the cross for you. For your salvation. If I ever ask the question, is God for me? Would God be my help? See, God's already helped. God's already brought salvation. God's already come and said, I've chosen you. I am for you. God's for you. He's for me. And the work that I have to do is the work of remembrance so that I begin to see it into the future. And I join with the psalmist in having this discipline of joy, a joyful remembrance, looking closely at the places where God has been at work, knowing with confidence, resting in the knowledge that God will be at work. See, God was at work in your past. And he's at work in your future. Would you pray with me? God, thank you for this psalm. May I be a person that sings with the psalmist. Not a person that just gets stuck looking at all the problems and the brokenness. but give me eyes to see the ways that you have been at work and the ways that you're at work now. And God, give me rest in the hope that you'll be my help, even going into the future. I pray all these things in your holy name. Amen.